Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Here. And no one boosts my mood like Mia O'Brien. ESPN Radio covers the Jaguars. Club 904 podcast, although she did dub me Joe 2, not Joe 1. That is you, Joe Shasky, not me, Joe Spadoni. Mia, good morning. We're just talking about the Niners' success over the Jaguars. Last time the Jaguars beat the red and gold was over 20 years ago. Get that.
20 years ago, I was in, I believe, the sixth grade up in New Jersey, and Duval was but a glimmer in my eye, so I cannot comment outside of David Garrard is still here in Jacksonville doing amazing things, and I want you to keep an eye out for his young son, who is a senior, I believe, this year at Fletcher High School. Garrard has told me this, so I don't feel bad sharing live on the air. He and his wife, when they saw their son...
Hey, Mia, I'm going to pot you down real quick. Your connection is spotty. We'll try to get you back on a better one.
I think she's calling us from 2005.
I thought she was calling us from Jersey, actually. That's where I thought she was right now, not Jacksonville. But I didn't know she was from Jersey. There you go, the more you know. I think she's my age then. If so, 20 years ago, I also would have been 12, sixth grade. Yeah, I think we're the same age.
We never talk about a woman's age, ever.
I can't say we're the same age.
Yeah, that's just, you know.
I said 20 years ago, I was also in sixth grade. I'm saying we're the same age. That is okay. I think and honestly, the age thing, when it comes to women, I think we're past that as a society.
Well,
Hashtag me too, Joe.
I have old school.
Me too.
No,
all right?
No. Old school manners from my grandma, and you know, there are certain things that you just don't discuss. And if they want to, that's on them. I just, you know, gonna leave it alone.
Mm. She discussed it. She said 20 years ago she was in the sixth grade. I also was. So there you go.
You just gotta let that sit there.
David Garrard, he had a moment in Jacksonville. Is he like, no, seriously. So it's Mark Brunell as we're talking the Jaguars. We're getting Mia O'Brien back in a second. It covers the Jacksonville
ESPN
radio.
How could we forget Blake Bortles?
Blake, he's the one who got to the NFC Championship. Joe, I kid you not, they should have won that game. They should have.
No, they shouldn't have, because they didn't go for any kind of moving of the ball with a lead in the first half against Tom Brady and the Patriots.
No, they had a fugazi woman's age. You guys both being 32. Like, are we,
I didn't say
Mia,
any age.
Mia,
no,
are we past that?
I mean, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Most people think I'm 12. Most people think, and I know I just got a fresh haircut for those of you watching on TV.
Nice.
Shout out to Sam, who thought I might be getting a mohawk. Most people think I'm 12 when I have my hair pulled up, or at least a 12-year-old boy. So I appreciate that we are the same age and that you are concerned about flattering me with my age. Like, I'm in that weird middle ground. I'm sure you feel the same way, Joe, too. Like, yeah. You're not old, but you're not young. And you're like, I don't really know how I should feel about this.
Yeah, I got two kids and a bunch of problems. That's aged me about 20 years, so we'll leave it at that. Speaking of problems, what are the problems going on with your wide receivers dropping all these balls in Jacksonville? Not helping out my guy Trevor Lawrence.
Hey, listen, I'm the one who went on every program over the summer and said buy stock in Brian Thomas Jr., and up to this point, it has not looked like a productive wide receiver, let alone a top 10 wide receiver. Like, I told so many people that he could be in his sophomore season. And ultimately, I think that the Jaguars are now at a point where through the first 2 weeks of the season, it was, all right, they're just trying to get chemistry. But then to see Parker Washington, who, while yes, was a sixth-round pick out of Penn State, he's a returner, but has become a very capable number four wide receiver for this team, and also one of the most sure-handed receivers between the wide receiver room, the tight end room, and the running back room, and he drops two passes on Sunday. I know there are those who want to point at Trevor Lawrence and say, oh, well, look at him. He misthrows the ball. It's too hot. I was at practice yesterday, boys, and during the open viewing portion of practice, Seth Hennigan, the practice squad quarterback from Memphis, he threw a ball that went off Brian Thomas Jr.'s hands. So consider me concerned too, because I, after seeing that yesterday, that was all the validation I needed. And I know it's a one rep sample size during essentially a walkthrough individual period portion of practice, but it's got to be a mental block at this point. And the concern is you hope it doesn't get in the water and seep into the rest of the receiving core.
I mean, I have him in fantasy in like every league, dude. I'm not, this is not good.
Hopefully
this is not good.
PPR.
I'm going to ask a very simple question. You have watched every snap of his career. Is Trevor Lawrence good?
Yes, I do think he's good. I don't know if he's great, but he's good. Okay. He is at minimum. Like, I think that when it's a functional organization that he's within, he is a top 12 work, and essentially, much like Tiger Woods did in 1998 to 2000, reinvent his swing. This was never going to be perfect from the onset, but I don't think he is the reason we're seeing those drops. I also think he's had one too many miscues to say, oh, he's undoubtedly a top 12 quarterback at this juncture.
So the video that we saw, most Niner fans are just, you know, scrolling Insta, TikTok, you know, X, whatever the hell it's called. And they see the video of the head coach and Trevor Lawrence going back and forth. Much ado about nothing or something?
It's much ado about nothing from the takes that I saw on Twitter, to your point, that everyone thinks they're infighting. I think it's a good thing. Trevor told us afterwards it was a good thing, and Liam said it's a good thing. Because, again, I go back to not only that offensive structure, but I go back to, and I said this on my podcast, I said this on the Patreon, and I will say it to you guys live on the radio in the Bay Area. I don't know, with all due respect to Dabo Swinney and Trevor Lawrence's high school coach, if he has ever had a head coach ream him out and rip him a new one. But as he told us after that Bengals game, he needs to be ripped a new one. And he appreciates, perhaps for the first time in his life, his, my words, not his, actually being coached hard. And I think that that is huge. And that's where you look at the Baker Mayfields and Jared Goffs of the world and you say, who's to say with Trevor Lawrence turning 26 about 10 days from now that we don't see him turn the corner that we always thought he would, because he finally has a coach who is not only holding everyone in the organization accountable, but is also continuing to evolve with where the league is going.
Talking with me, O'Brien, here on the Morning Roast, covers the Jaguars Club 904 podcast and also on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN Radio. Mia, last time we had you on, we were talking about, you know, Mac Jones and what? Who is this guy? Like, what is he at this point? He was on the Jaguars last year. Some spot starts in place for Trevor Lawrence. And it looks like he may be able to start again for the third straight week. Both of them limited in practice yesterday. Purdy and Jones, that is. If it is Mac this week, how motivated is he going to be? And obviously, you referenced this was the childhood team that he grew up rooting for, right? He had a Blake Bortles jersey. Can we be looking at a revenge game scenario for Mac going up against the Jags?
1,000%. That's why I asked Trevor yesterday at the podium if he had spoken with McCorkle. And it did take him a second to be like, oh, right, Mac. Forgot that that's his birth name or his government name, I should say. No, and he said he texted Mac as soon as he won that first game against the New Orleans Saints and said how proud he was. They have a really interesting relationship, having, of course, been in college, been Heisman finalists through that same class and being drafted the same year, then working together in Jacksonville with everything else going on around it, to the point of Trevor Lawrence is willing to take the coaching from Liam Cohen because he's never been ripped a new one before. I would also say that as things devolved last year in the second half of the season, especially after Trevor Lawrence was done for the year, combined with the shoulder injury, coupled with the concussion he suffered at the hands of Azeez Al-Shaair, I think that you saw Mac Jones, and I could even tell you I saw this in training camp too, Mac Jones had no issue calling Press Taylor out on his ish, that maybe sometimes Trevor Lawrence would just kind of be like, okay, and find a way to work around it. Mac Jones is the type of guy where I know everyone wants to mic him up and hear him laugh and goof off, but he's going to hold you accountable. And to give respect to his high school coach, the late Corky Rogers, I think that was instilled in Mac at a young age. I think it's instilled by the fact that he was handed nothing when he arrived at the University of Alabama. He had to work for every single thing he had, had to rehabilitate his image after some off the field transgressions in his early years in Tuscaloosa. And I think that that adversity has built him to the point where now you see that he can handle just about anything, whether it's a 4-13 Jaguars campaign or being thrust into a starting role in San Francisco.
So this trade for Travis Hunter, right? I mean, he's just mesmerizing in college. I mean, he was dynamic. I was like, I don't know, man, Abdul Carter taking a guy who's, a real deal pass rusher who had a foot injury, but they traded up and they went after Travis Hunter, right? And time will tell. But when we go to practices, I know every team does it a little different, but the way the Niners do it, they've got 10 or 11 periods, at least during training camp, and sometimes you'll have cornerbacks working by themselves, sometimes wide receivers by themselves, sometimes they come together and they're doing individual kind of like group sessions, DBs versus wide receivers, et cetera. Then they get into 7-on-7, 11-on-11. How has it looked at practice for Travis Hunter? Is he just going back and forth between DB and wide receiver?
Literally, yes. Like yesterday was a great example of it because the Jags, once the regular season began, actually realigned and reconfigured their practice outdoor facility in that they moved the uprights to a different position on the field. And so the way that we are situated in the media where we stand along the end zone line behind the two uprights, we actually saw it like full throttle. He was first at the start of practice working with the defensive backs coach, Ron Miles, and some other defensive coaches, one-on-one walkthroughs, despite being in a wide receiver jersey. Then he went over and caught passes with the wide receivers and individual drills. Then he went back and did individual work with the DBs. And that's what we've seen throughout training camp. We'll continue to see it, whether he puts a penny on or not. They're just going to keep doing it. But what's really cool about it, Joe's, is this idea of they have every minute of his day predetermined, calculated down to the second of where Travis Hunter needs to be at a given time for the next 3 months. They already have it planned out. And yes, it fluctuates week to week, depending on what the game plan is, depending on what his availability will be, i.e. when he missed the 10 days during training camp, or at least was limited. And I think that it's flexible, it's malleable. They've had this plan in place since they drafted him, and it's been really cool to see it put into action.
What do you think he's better at? Or do you think he should maybe give up one side or just keep doing what he's doing? I'm just curious. I mean, you're there. Everybody's got opinions on players. Mm-hmm. What do you think he's better at?
Yeah. I think he's at his best when he plays both, if I'm being completely honest. And it's tough because Liam Cohen told us this in training camp and he admitted it yesterday. And I know it obviously, made the rounds on Twitter. They are only right now having him play the slot at wide receiver because this is a long-term play. Next year, they will be teaching him the Z and the X. Not that he can't play those positions, but because he's also learning a defensive playbook, they are not trying to overload him right now. And so that's where it may not be perfect. It may not be beautiful year one. And I think that's okay because this is such a long-term play for the Jaguars and they're so invested in keeping him healthy for the long term in addition to the short term that it's one of those things that I know it's not going to live up to the fantasy football community's high aspirations for him in year one. But I do think come year three, when you are seeing him play every single snap on offense and defense, you'll be much happier. I'd also encourage you to go back, look at his freshman stats at Jackson State. He played both ways, but it wasn't at the rate that we saw at Colorado. So it's okay to say we may not see him playing every single snap at both positions until year two, year three. But to your point, I do think defensive back is his more natural position. But I think that's because he has such great ball skills, and so that's where you can't deny the talent he can be, especially in open space at the wide receiver position.
Talking to Mia O'Brien here, covers the Jaguars, Club 904 podcast, ESPN Radio here on the Morning Roast.
I think she's
roast.
One of the best people who cover football in the entire country. No, we talk to people from everywhere.
Absolutely.
And Mia, you just, I love it. Opinions with some facts, it's just incredible.
And she is very tapped in on all
the Brandon
things.
The Brandon Ayuk thing didn't deter you guys? I'm glad. No. I thought that I was like, you guys. I know we're cool. I'm worried about the Niners fans, the Niner faithful. I just hope, I wasn't wrong. He was trying to get out. Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I have a bone to pick with the Niner fans right now. They're not even excited about a 3-0 start, so there's that. But that's something we can talk about another time. No. Real quick, Mia, I want to ask you this, because you are tapped in on everything. If we gave Kyle Shanahan truth serum right now, and he had to give us his ranking of these three quarterbacks, how would he rank them? Mac Jones, Brock Purdy, Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, yep. I knew it was coming. Are we talking about them in their current form or when they were coming out of school?
No money right attached to any of them.
Right now.
Right now.
He probably puts Brock 1, and then he puts Trevor 2 and Mac 3. And that's just because Trevor has the best God-given gifts of the three. But in terms of processing speed, in terms of recognizing his role within the offense, but having sneaky athleticism, Brock trumps Mac in that department. But I do think, and I know it's probably being discussed in the Bay Area and it's discussed here quite frequently, if Trevor Lawrence was to ever get with Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay, look out, people, because yikes. I mean, I know everyone wants to question his processing speed, but I trust Nate Tice's opinion from Yahoo Sports. And Nate Tice said, if you actually go back and you watch the All-22, and even in talking to Liam Cohen these last few weeks, he's been so complimentary of some of the plays that Trevor has killed at the line, which last year it felt like every other play that was killed at the line then turned into a dud. But this year, including some third down conversions against the Texans, including the Brian Thomas Jr. cover zero first down throw that then resulted and set up the Travis Etienne touchdown to win the game against the Texans. That was all Trevor at the line of scrimmage. And so that's where I don't think this notion of, well, he goes to his first read or he can't see the field. It can't be true. I do think a lot's been put on his plate and a lot more than was put on his plate in the Mickey Mouse offense in Clemson, South Carolina. But I also think that we have to remember he's turning 26 next month. Like, again, you got to be patient. I will leave you guys with this. I think I said it last time. Derek Klassen of the Athletic Football Show said it. The comp for Trevor with Liam Cohen, if everything goes well, is Matt Ryan with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. And year one of that duo, they went 8-9-1, and there was a lot of headbutting because Kyle Shanahan challenged Matt Ryan and forced him to change much of his operation. I don't think that Trevor is nearly as stubborn as Matt Ryan was. He also hasn't been in the league and doesn't have as many pelts on the wall as Matt Ryan did circa 2016. And so that's why I hope it's an even easier learning curve than it was for Matt Ryan with the Falcons and Shanahan once upon a time.
He does have way better hair, though, than Matt Ryan. We could all agree on that. I mean, that lettuce, Mia, let's be honest here. It is the best hair in sports, is it not? Come on.
It has to be. I've thought about it, especially with Patrick Mahomes cutting his hair. Like, I wouldn't know it's Trevor if he cut his hair. Like, I truly do. And I spend, like, a lot of time around the guy. And, like, I don't know if I would know it was him.
We're sleeping on Trey Lance and Trey Young?
Oh, stop. Don't be mean to those guys. Come on. Stop it. Hey, Mia.
KD?
Mia, really good stuff this morning. We really appreciate your time.
Hey, I appreciate it. And do you want to tell the folks, Joe, the fun's going to continue in a little bit if y'all want to hop on YouTube with us in about an hour's time.
Oh, bearing the lead? What's going on?
I'm going to jump on our podcast.
You keeping secrets?
I want Joe, too, to come on, too. But you may have a meeting, I was told. Clearly, I want all of you guys
not.
On. I think we're
going
to have a lot of fun.
Your people didn't reach out to me, so now I'm offended. You know what? I don't even, I'm not even going to check in.
No, my people is Sam Lovin, your producer.
Oh,
The bouncer at the Club 904, We don't let Spadoni's in.
It's fine. You know, it's the mustache, isn't it? I mean, you can say it. It's the mustache this week. I cut off the beard and it's the mustache.
What's
fun.
I can't even see you because my face is actually covering you in the interface. So I still don't know what you look like. It's very sad.
You're missing nothing.
It's fine. It's fine. It's just a
Mia,
big
you do
it's
a great
big
job.
Nose,
I can't
Mia.
Wait to talk
yeah,
to you
thanks,
again.
Mia.
Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate you, Joe. Talk soon.
She's excellent.
There you go. That's Mia O'Brien. Covers the Jags, ESPN Radio Club, 904 podcast. Well, it's true.
She's right.
Everyone was all everyone is awful last year.
I mean, it's like, hey, no, I'm talking about in Clemson, too.
Oh.
She's like, you know, I watched a lot of Clemson, and I remember thinking, like,
y'all did. They were on it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.